I'm Jennifer Johnston, and probably a lot of you don't really know me. I've been coming here, it's been almost a year, but we were kind of in and out, and then decided to make this our home. I lived in Florida for 7 years. I am from Ohio, so I made Buckeye cookies because Ohio is the Buckeye state. Peanut butter and chocolate. So if you have a nut allergy, sorry, not for you. But anybody else, grab one before you go. I lived all my life in Ohio. Northern Columbus is the area that I was from, and moved away a bit, moved back, but always in Ohio, and grew up there all my life. We even bought the house that I grew up in. This is my mom over here. She came to listen because she doesn't know my testimony. No. We bought the house I grew up in. I grew up all my life in one house, like never moved. So I not only never moved from Ohio, I lived in the same house, and then we bought the house. So quite a... Well, then we moved away, right, when I got married. But anyway, that was my growing up years. So about 18, 20 years ago, something like that, I was asked to help with a women's group. And it was a Beth Moore study. And there you do a video weekly, but you have a book that you do throughout the week. And they just wanted me to do kind of facilitate a smaller groups because we were getting to be pretty big, and they wanted me to, you know, they wanted that part of the meeting to be more private, and so I was supposed to do the small group. And I remember talking to a friend and being like, I'm so uncomfortable about this, like how can I do this small group all by myself, and you know, this kind of thing. It wasn't that big of a deal, but to me it was a big deal. And my friend said, well, maybe God's calling you into ministry or to talk before women. And I'm like, no way. There's no way. But here I am. But there's a scripture I want to read here that I came across the other day, or the other week, I guess. And so I was reading this in my quiet time. That's Colossians 1, 4 through 8. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. And then Epaphras. And then, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. I skipped just a little bit there. And when I read that the other week, that love which ye have to all the saints, I was like, oh yeah, God, I should do that more. I should really love people and love your saints, and like I should probably do something. And I just like almost audibly heard God laugh, and I laughed at the same time, because I've had a home group in my house for like about 4 years, and we do a meal together, and I'm teaching, and you know, I have people over all the time, and I now have my brother's family living with us. There are 14 of us living in a house. And so God is just laughing at me. What do you mean a love for the saints? What do you think you're doing, you know? So anyway, from that point 18 years ago to this point of like just knowing that God was laughing at me with me, and knowing that he was saying, you are doing this and I love you for it. How did I get from there to here, to where I'm really hearing God and knowing that it's from him? So that is kind of my testimony. I feel like I just kind of had a pretty normal upbringing, and, you know, like you go off into the world and people have these testimonies that are like, whoa, you did all of that and all of that happened. That's incredible. I didn't have that. I just kind of had this normal sort of life. So but that is my testimony, is the progression of hearing his voice, knowing his love, being really confident in who I am because of who he is. That's my testimony. Ephesians 1:17 says in Passion Translation, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. So that knowing him through your deepening intimacy with him, that is my testimony. So like I said, I grew up in the church. It was a fairly small church, and it was a Presbyterian church. And I know people kind of get an idea in their head. It wasn't that kind of Presbyterian church. It was very much a Presbyterian church that pushed the limits on being Presbyterian, I guess, and pulling in more of, I think, pushing the limits for the spirit, but then there was always some drawing back, too. So there was kind of this forward and back. But it did give me kind of this foundation and helped me to develop habits in life that I think were very valuable. You know, you might say, well, that's kind of living under the law. And in a way, it was, but it kept me grounded and it kept me from a lot of mistakes I could have made. So I'm very thankful for that upbringing. Kudos to you, Mom. But in that little church, I was never really taught about the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the gifts some. We talked about things a little bit. But, you know, it was kind of like, you don't really talk about that. But I didn't receive any real negative words about the Holy Spirit either. So that was good. But probably the only negative I ever experienced was sometimes a preacher. We had different pastors throughout the years, but sometimes they would be kind of like pushing, you need more, you don't have this, and you're not, you know, you don't have. And that was hard for me to take because I was kind of like, well, I'm doing everything that I know how to do. What are you talking about? You're saying I have some lesser relationship with the Lord? And I would look around at all these people I knew all my life and amazing people and be like, what are you talking about? So that's probably the only check there, I guess. So I went to Sunday school. I did VBS. We had a King's Kids thing for a while, youth group. And I, like I said, I just grew up in the church. So I did all those things when I was a kid, and as I got a little bit older, I helped with those things, and I, you know, became part of all of that. I, you know, all of that. But along the way, I was learning that I've been given this good foundation, and it was truth, but it wasn't the truth or the full truth. I discovered that there was more. Let's see. I did have a scripture for that. Ephesians 2. 1 through 2 says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So that quickening, I feel like, you know, I wasn't in the world necessarily, but I was being quickened further and further into the truth, the full truth of God. So I went off to college, and I got involved immediately in a church. So I, again, feel like not only a foundation that I was given, but also like a covering that God was protecting me all along the way. And it was a word study church. So it was like we had a study center, and you would set your Bible down, and you would get out all your concordances and all these books, and you would study. I learned to study the word. It was good, but there wasn't really Holy Spirit there much at all. So but I did meet my husband there, so that was good. And so I met him. We got married while we were both in school still, and we kind of took turns being in college and not being in college. I went to college directly out of high school, and like every quarter, it was quarters there, got really burnt out and needed a break. So he went to college, and then I went. We both did graduate. And when I went back to college, I remember getting a scripture that really spoke to me about going to college. And I put it like on my desk, and I would read it periodically. And so I was beginning to have that like, oh, the word is feeding me, like I'm needing this. after college, we moved away, northern Ohio, by about 2 hours. So I still lived in Ohio. And I got pregnant there. And then we moved south 2 hours to Cincinnati before my first was born. And Cooper was born. I remember holding him, teeny tiny baby, you know, just I loved babies anyways all my life. Like, I love kids. But, you know, just holding him and being like, God, you could take him from me. Like, this is what I kind of had learned through the years, that God might take your kid. He might take your life. Like, I don't know. And just holding him and being like, could I give him up? Could I give him to you, God? And I was able to say yes, but I'm so thankful that I've learned more truth. And I didn't have to ever give him up. Got pregnant with my second child, Riley, who stepped out to the bathroom. And I remember a moment where we lived one area of Cincinnati and then another area of Cincinnati, and we didn't really have a church that we went to. You know, I had a baby, and Brian worked a really crazy schedule, so we would, Vineyard churches had like 3 or 4 evenings a week that you could get church, so we would just pop in here and there, you know. And just in the busyness and stuff, I was still in a relationship with God, but I wasn't immersed in Him. And I remember one time opening my Bible and reading and just being like hungry, like it filled me. And I was so excited to read this word that, you know, it was like coming back to a friend and just being like, oh, I needed that. All along this time, my sister also was sending me like scripture lists for birth, and I would read those too. So I was getting this kind of, you know, proclaiming and understanding and really being taking the word for myself, I guess is the way I would say it. But I didn't, you know, it was kind of an in and out relationship with God. But Brian worked a really hard schedule. He worked for the railroad, driving locomotives, and we had no family in Cincinnati, so we made the decision to move back to Columbus area so we could be closer to family. And at that time, the small group was started right around that time, and I started to be in the small group. But one thing that came out of it during some of those studies was also more of that the word is for you to take and to believe and to hold on to for yourself in your life. And I kind of wanted another baby, and God showed me through this Bible study the scripture that He will give you the desires of your heart. And I felt Him speak to me. I did not hear Him speak to me. I did not even recognize really that's how I was hearing. I still didn't understand how that was working, but somehow I knew that He was saying that to me. So then I was getting more and more scriptures, and I would read them, and then I'd kind of go about my day, and I'd be busy with my kids, and I'd be like, oh, this is silly. You know, He didn't really speak to me. It's just I want, you know. Of course I'm thinking that. But lo and behold, I got pregnant. And when I got pregnant, it was like, oh, He spoke to me. I'm so excited. Like, I was excited to be pregnant, but I was so excited that He spoke to me, that I heard His voice. It was exciting. So I shared that with Brian, and he wasn't as excited as I was. He got on board, but I remember that month of, I got to share that I was pregnant like around Christmas time. So I remember that month just being really hard. I was, I don't think I was doing a home group yet, but I was doing this women's Bible study, and I had volunteered to help with this play at our church and wound up like being the stage manager. And Brian's kind of a handy person, so I was probably volunteering him to help too. And he was like working third shift, and then I tell him I'm pregnant, and then when I told him that I had heard from God, he's like, "You went behind my back to come." No, that's not exactly the way it went. But anyway, he got there. But all along this time, It continued to happen, you know, like Brian would be frustrated with his job or things like that, and God would just give me this bunch of scriptures, and I would start to read them every day and kind of pray them through. And we had these retreats with this group of women. We'd go on retreats, and those were really valuable for me. I was reading like Kenneth Copeland magazines and listening to teachings. And I remember one time I was driving up to visit Nikki. They lived in Mount Gilead, which was 45 minutes, an hour away, something like that. And I was listening to this teaching, and I'm like, does the Bible really say that? It was probably healing and prosperity messages, kind of. And so I'm scribbling down like scriptures so that I can read them when I get home. And I read them when I get home, and lo and behold, that's what the word says. It was there. I was so excited. So again, I'm learning. There's a truth, and there's the truth, and either one you can kind of pick up and grab as much as you want. And I was choosing to grab as much as I could get at that point. Now, along the way, you know, it's easy to kind of tell your testimony and be like, yeah, and so it was good, and this all happened. Well, it wasn't always good. Like, I really had a lot of doubts. I had a lot of doubts as to my parenting, even though that God was speaking to me the most through parenting. It was also my hardest struggle. I was angry. I would yell at my kids. I wasn't patient. I would compare myself to other people. Wow, what a trap. That's horrible. And even being asked to speak here, I'm kind of like, well, who am I? Like, wisdom? What do you mean wisdom? Well, we all have a testimony. God is wise and he is in us. So even though I struggled with that, you know, in Ephesians it says, but God. And then it talks about us being a poem that he's writing on our hearts. Everybody has a testimony. Everybody has something.
Yes.
So around this time, too, as I was reading things and listening, I was sharing with Brian, and he was kind of coming along a little bit more. He was starting to he would have dreams. Actually, he got saved that way. He had kind of an intense dream and woke up and was like, yes, Jesus, I need you, out of fear. But he would hear numbers and dates a lot. Like one time, it was one of those stock market corrections. He got a date, and it was the exact date. And so leading up to it, kind of like, oh, what should I do? What should I do? It definitely saved us. We did not lose a lot, but he wishes he was bolder, and we could have gained more. But I still, it was cool that he heard all these things. So he hears this number. Here's a number once. And he's trying to figure out, I can't even remember what it was, like a series of numbers or something. He's trying to figure out, what does this mean? What does this mean? And so I started praying about it and hearing. And I heard that somehow the number fit with gestational time in the womb. And I think, too, that there was something to do. Cooper was born 5 days after Brian's birthday, and Riley's original due date was 5 days before my birthday. So I think something like that fit in there too. But anyway, the series, I was like, I think that's what it is. And I lost my train of thought. Okay, I hear that number, but I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna go there. Like, Brian needs to hear this on his own. I can't go there. But in the midst of that, when I got pregnant with Hawken, you know, he was speaking to me, it's the desires of your heart. And so this time he tells me that was the desires of your heart. Now this is the desire of my heart. Are you willing? And I was like, yes, I'm willing, you know. So so I didn't tell Brian for a long time. And both of these times, I probably prayed over this for over a year. Like, this was a long battle, and God definitely intervened because we were using protection, but anyway, I won't go too far into that, but anyway. but one time, we're out driving, and he's talking about this number, and I finally did share it with him, and he laughed. He just laughed. He just was like, really? Okay. Well, why would God share with me this thing that he's kind of speaking to you? I was like, well, we are one, and he laughed again. He's like, okay, I get it. So I got pregnant with my fourth, and I was about 7 or 8 months pregnant. We went down to North Carolina and went to my cousin's wedding. My mom is a twin, and at that time, my aunt died 2 days after the wedding. She went out to eat, and we were supposed to go out for ice cream afterwards, and we get the phone call that something happened, and she didn't make it. She had an aneurysm. She died very suddenly. It was horrible, horrible time, but 2 weeks after that, 3 weeks, something like that, we had another women's retreat. So everybody at church, I was one of the organizers of the retreat, and I was supposed to speak. And they were like, you know, don't worry about it. Do whatever you need to do. We can take care of this. It'll be fine. You know, whatever you need to do. But I wanted to go, and I went on this retreat, big pregnant, and spoke And at the retreats, we rented a house, and all of us stayed in this house, and they were fabulous. You know, you'd have your own food, and we just did our own teachings. And but one night, we would go out to eat. And so we went out to eat, and there was these two women. Mostly it was people in our church, but always there was a couple other people that would come. And two women came separate from each other, but they both got sick before we went out to eat. One of them had a horrible headache, and I think the other, I can't really remember, but something, stomach or something. And they stayed home, and I really believe that they battled and interceded for us because we were supposed to have the most amazing night ever. So the Holy Spirit comes that night, and we have this, I can't even remember how it started, whether we did have a teaching and then we were all just sitting around and talking, but this like prayer broke out, and these two women were going around and praying for people, but nothing was organized. It was very random. And the one woman comes to me to pray, and she said a few things, and I kind of was like, oh, I don't think that really relates to me, but that's okay. And but I was just like kind of open and ready to receive, and all of a sudden I totally pictured tongues in my head. And I hadn't heard a lot about this at the time, but I had a little bit of knowledge. I could just picture the words, and I knew I had the choice. I can either speak these out or I don't have to. Like, I can do whatever I want. Well, I spoke them out. And like the fact that the women were sick didn't find out until later, after all of this happened, because it was so amazing. We all got together after the retreat to talk about it. And most of the people there didn't know that I had never spoken in tongues. So it was my first time. I just spoke out. And, you know, your head can be in that as much as your spirit. And I remember even like praying and then being like, how will I know how to stop? I don't know what this language is, whether I'm, you know, at the end of a sentence. So that's just funny. But anyway, so when I shared afterwards, when we all got together and I was talking about, I was telling people, no, this is the first time I'd ever done this. And they were like, wow, really? And then the girl that had been sitting next to me said, I opened my eyes while you were praying and you were like glowing. It was so amazing. And I felt that. So I felt that for like a year. And I had different tongues. I could be praying and just be like, oh, that sounds very Russian. Oh, that sounds very Oriental. That sounds like Native American. And, you know, like it was just very, very cool. But what I came back to, I was teaching a home group by this time. I think I forgot to mention that. But when I returned to church, I really thought everybody was going to receive this, because this is just little old me from this Presbyterian church. I mean, surely everybody's going to go, oh, it really is something. Wow. That didn't happen. But I studied. I'm teaching the home group. And for the most part, nobody really attacked me on it. But, you know, it wasn't just across the board. Oh, of course, you know. And I studied a lot. I read lots of books, read all the scriptures, and some people received along the way, you know, little bits and pieces, and had different stories, which was cool too, because I could see how, you know, God did this in me, but he did this in somebody else, and he did this in somebody else. What broke my heart the most is people who said, no, I asked, and obviously God has said, no, I haven't done it. And I just was like, I'm reading and studying. It is for everyone. It is for everyone. So anyway, I also started reading a lot of Andrew Womack on his website. At the time, he had like teaching articles that hit like really hard points and things that people struggled with. And they were so good. And I would read them out loud to my kids all the time. And I would read like pretty much any book that I wanted to read. I would just read it out loud to my kids. And I do believe that that, like, helped them. They saw my passion. They saw this time in my life that was new for me. And, you know, I do think that that helped them. And so I hungered for it. And at this time, you know, I don't really have dates and all that stuff down, but Brian took a buyout at the job he was at, which was a super huge moment for him. His struggles were usually finance, his job, whether he was fulfilled, satisfied, felt like he was doing what he was supposed to be doing, that would always come up with him. And, you know, again, I would read those scriptures and pray through it, but it was, that's what would come up in him. And so when he made the decision to take this buyout, was huge for him, because he was letting go of his identity in his job, the finances. We did have 3 years of some percentage that he did get paid, but it wasn't enough. He still had to go find another job. We were hoping, he's a pilot. He was learned to fly at age 16 and always wanted to be a pilot, but never did that as his career. And so he, taking that buyout was a huge deal, and we were hoping that that flying would come in at about that time, but it didn't. And so he got this offer down at Flight Safety to come for an interview, and the interview wound up being more like a class, and it was kind of weird. They never really offered him the job, but it was obvious that we were moving that way. And at that time, he started going to the church that my sister was going to at the time, and 1 week the pastor invited anybody who wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit to come up. He went up, he mumbled a couple of words, and the pastor said, yep, you've received tongues and you've received the Spirit. And he's kind of like, he calls me, you know, this is what happened. I was like, yes, you know, I'd already been studying. I knew. Yes, yes, you received. Just keep going. Go with faith, you know, go with it. But there was very powerful and anointed words there. And he felt strongly that job or no job, that's where we were supposed to be. And there was definitely with our kids too, there was just some things, especially with my oldest, that he needed it. He needed to be where we were for those few years. So we moved down here and went to this good church, but we had no fellowship, which is why we're not there now. We did find a fellowship through a homeschool co-op, and I was able to start a home group. And God was still encouraging me in words and scriptures, and more so for other people now. Like before, I feel like it was usually for me or my husband. And now I'm starting to go out more and more. We did a study with my sister and some of our kids on prophetic personalities, and that really helped to solidify in me, because even though I'm sharing, like I heard from God, or I heard from God this way or that way, I had a lot of doubts. I kind of like, am I really? Am I doing this right? This person says they heard this or that or had that experience, and I haven't. Is what I'm doing the right thing, kind of thing? But in that prophetic personalities study, you take like a little test, and it gives you a description, and then she teaches on it, and then they have a panel of people at the end of it. And I was a knower in the study, and that, like, oh yeah, because when I read the word, I know that that's true, and I really felt like that was my thing. And then when she did the speaking about the different personalities, the hearer is somebody who writes things down. And I was like, oh, well, that's kind of me too. So I definitely recognize that, just to give you a sample. For you OCD people, this is going to hurt. So, I mean, I'm just scattered writing everywhere. Like, these are things I pray over people. These are things I, you know, scriptures I have for my kids. It's a mess. But, you know, when I need to pray for somebody, that's where I go. I've got one in the back of the Bible, or the book too. And if you noticed, I'm also going backwards in what I've written here. I'm all over the place. But anyway, that really solidified in me this confidence that he speaks to me, that I hear his voice. I'm valuable to him. And also entering into his rest was something that he really taught me moving here, because we went to a church that had no activities. And I was always kind of like, aren't I supposed to be doing something for you, God? What am I supposed to be doing? And he was just showing me to rest in his love and rest in his goodness. That's what I was learning while I was here. So I'm so thankful for that, because it's been an awesome lesson. I'm just going to read Ephesians, the rest of that Ephesians that I read before, 17 through 19. And if you could just kind of listen and just allow God to fill that same thing in you. His word, His goodness, His love, that He does speak to you, that you do hear His voice, that you have something to say, that you have a testimony. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know Him through your deepening intimacy with Him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of His calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that He finds in us, His holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. And I just have this one little picture that God gave me at one point. I did a lot of these little color things, but just to open your mouth, open your hands, receive everything that He has for you, because His fullness is for everyone. That's all I have.